And then Cookie, this Thursday, 2nd December, 71, trip, just back, first visit after they got back from West Virginia, Channel 2 right, and a continuation visit with Cookie and Helen, this Thursday, 2nd December, 71.
She slowed down. She drove until we down a straighter, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then when it started getting in that twisty and turn.
Well, so that she began to get tired.
And I took over and I pushed her right on in.
I believe this semi, this truck though, had skidded into the.
I think it skidded
into. Slid into the hill, and his load was metal, and I believe it hit. On those rocks and caused it to ignite in the fire. Mm-hmm. Because it was the bed of whatever it was, we couldn't tell what all was burning.
The floor of the bed burned out and everything, but the main part of it, the tractor part of the truck, wasn't hurt. It
didn't seem like just mostly the wood part, you know, what was wood was burned. And this metal binding, I called it, looks like
those
what you use on the straps you use
on
packages
load
on and things.
With, you know,
yeah.
They was
strung all over.
Burnt.
Edge of the next to the hill.
Well, we of course heard it about the snow. We said sure you hit it. But other than that, other than that Wednesday night down here,
mm-hmm.
the weather was just beautiful, warm.
Oh, it was so pretty in Beckley, West Virginia. We went off the turnpike in Beckley. I think every little twig had snow on it. It was a wet
yeah.
snow.
Uh-huh.
It was just beautiful. And it was a big brick homes. Big brick homes and just big pines, you know, in front, and they were all so, it was just so pretty. Well, from there on in to the higher elevations it was on.
I'm telling you, that rain going to set us up. We got a little rain. How much did we get?
Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, inch and a quarter, inch and a half. Now this'll take it up to a couple inches or so. And that's pretty good this time of year.
Yeah.
And I just hope it doesn't turn cold.
Because it won't, evaporate.
Well, you see, the ground's still warm. It's not been fresh. We ain't had no cold weather.
Yes.
To cool the ground down, and the ground's still warm, and the moisture just going to push that grass right on out.
Yeah. It's going to come in a hurry. Oh, yes. And ground's going to work better, too.
Yeah.
Getting hard again. Dust is, when it's dusty on top, it's hard below, isn't it?
Yes, sure is. Yes, my thought.
See.
It started raining about 3 this morning. A little bit after 3, maybe.
I went to work yesterday.
I don't know where it was. No, it was later than 3.
Tore my tractor up. Had to take it to Ocala today.
This Thursday.
I'm going to get it back on next Tuesday.
You just have to be the timekeeper, won't you?
Well, I ain't gonna do very much of anything for this day. Because they done told me, said, Cookie, you can't do nothing for my mother custom. Because you ain't used to it. I said, don't tell me nothing. I know it.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, I've been waiting for you to show up. I'm about out of water.
What?
down yonder won't work. And this little old thing has just got so it rattles.
Rattles? What, you mean the pump don't work?
It works, but it looks like it's on its last go around.
And that pump out yonder don't work at all?
I paid $31 to get it repaired. And it sprung a leak down there, and it must have run 3 or 4 hours. And when I came back, it was stopped running. But it's wild, and it never was in account.
Well, in other words, it wasn't no good to start with.
Mm-mm.
Well, some.
And I've had it 6, 7 years.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Well, I've got one sitting over on the trailer. But by golly, I'll pump. And
this?
We'll put it on there.
Huh?
And we'll put it on there.
You know, their water system at home.
You can't take a chance on just one pump.
Oh, really?
Out in the country.
Mm-mm. Well,
and this runs all the time. It knocks on every hour or so.
Maybe it's waterlogged.
Well, it is.
You should drain it.
It needs bleeding. That would help a little bit.
We'll get fixed up this week.
Sure would. I know when our pump gets waterlogged, I don't like to use it until it's.
This pump's been a good one. This red jacket thing. It's been a noisy booger, but it's been a good one.
Yeah.
But it's half a horse, not enough.
Well, how deep your well?
60 feet.
60.
Mm-hmm.
I've only got a third on mine. It's 83.
Yeah.
Is this just 60 out here? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's enough. Half enough. Of course, now that big pump of mine, it's half horse. And it'll go on there. And we can make it work.
I'd rather be without electricity than without water. If I had a choice, but you don't. I'm telling you, that water, you just got to have water.
You've got animals.
Case when you're out in the country,
when
you're out without electricity,
totally.
You are without water.
Yeah, you are.
Makes a difference.
I see you put your limousine up on the front row with the rest of them.
Yes, sir.
Proud.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been waiting.
Let me see, I got some fertilizer put out. I don't know. Oh, I was waiting for it to rain to put it out. You said it would burn it. So now I've got to wait till it dries. It's too wet out there now. Down in that low country. We don't want it to rain too much down there, do we?
No, huh?
He's floating away.
Well, no more than we got to go there. Heck, we can throw that out by hand if we have to.
Sure.
Yeah, I can move it right out by hand.
I remember old Ben Wright was down there one time. He says, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. He had farmed all over that country, and he said the last, it was cabbage crop he had in there. He said the rain got it. So it's not the first time.
Yeah, I looked down there and, you know, it's the biggest surprise in the world to see it plaid, because I always think about where you ought to plaid is being underwater.
Have you heard from Mammy?
Yes, she's just fine.
Have you heard from Mark?
Yes, he's been by. Not too much, has he, Guy?
No, he's getting independent. The last time was that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, he was here after that, yeah. But that was the chief time. He came to see those horses, and he really saw them, didn't he?
Daddy said I never thought I'd see a plow, them horses pull a plow on the stable.
That was a nice occasion.
I said, well, Daddy, there's the evidence.
Not on the plow, but you got the picture.
That's what you didn't bring. That was the disc.
I didn't have room.
We didn't have room, did we?
Had to bring them out for us.
He was going to bring a disc. And I never once thought of it until now.
No, I had forgot about that disc. But I brought me a double tree. I brought me a few things that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I brought me some horseshoes.
Oh, you did?
Oh, really?
I'd forgotten about that.
Daddy gave me some horseshoes. Give me a double tree. New one.
He went to an auction.
Oh, he did.
And I tell you what I bought.
And Grandpa went on Saturday night.
I bought an old fashioned block plane that they used to plane lumber with, you know.
Yes.
Dollar and a quarter.
Yeah.
And then Daddy gave him one.
Yeah, and then Grandpa Coco gave me one to go with it.
That's all good.
But I couldn't resist that plane going for a dollar bill. Boy, I couldn't do that. I said a quarter.
Got it.
No, he went to the auction trying to find a stove. We looked all over West Virginia for it.
And let me tell you.
A wood stove.
I went to the stock station on Friday after I got there on Thursday, you know, me and Dad.
Oh, dear.
And if I'd had me a rack for my truck, I wouldn't have broke no apple. Been no way. But I'd have brought me another horse.
Horse? Yeah, horse.
Oh, really?
I told Grandpa, I'm so glad he didn't have a rack.
A workhorse. I'm telling you, it was just a picture of Babe.
Is that right?
Just a picture of
Babe. Let me tell you, I don't want to appear uninterested in your workhorse. But James is falling apart. You see, the Ruby's restaurant over there changed hands, and for ever since anybody can remember, since James worked over there, he used Beatty's truck.
Yeah.
He practically brought his family up in that truck. When I came down here, he moved my stuff. He moved stuff for me in that truck, beat his truck.
Yeah.
Not the same one. He'd wear them out and get new ones. All right. But the truck was wore out when Beatty sold out. So he gave him his station wagon.
Yeah.
It was old, but it was all right. And I will miss
door handle. No, this is fine. I need to take it off so when I go out I can tell I had it on.
He can't keep it up. It ain't even running half the time. So he uses the lady's car over there to pick up the cooks. But she won't turn it over to him to use in the countryside. Well, they got no more hauling. No more transportation. Miss Bessie had to put in a kerosene stove. Couldn't get any wood. Miss Daisy, her son brought her a little jag of wood, but more than likely he won't do it next time. And he got all sorts of things like that. And you know, I don't know how they make such a ceremony over such a little bit of effort. as many trees as there are in the country, and as little effort as it takes to cut one up, they can't cut them.
Here I want a spoon and can't find one to fill.
Yeah.
We got the wood, but we can't find a stove without buying a new one.
What size you want? A little heater?
Yeah.
I want just a little long with two burners on top.
Yeah, but you want cast iron. You don't want the metal. The,
I want cast
iron.
Sheet metal. Well, Ben got his from Johnny Palmer, and he got it 4 or 5 years ago, and paid him $35 then. But it's a pretty good stove for that.
They're $59 now.
Yeah.
Thing of it is, if you could just get us one, they're $49.95 in Sears catalog. Oh.
Well, you know, Sears, it's coming around now to where Sears is higher.
Oh,
than most
yeah.
other people.
But, I mean, you'd have to go to the store and order, and you'd have to pay the freight charges. I mean, the shipping charges, just like you'd send an order.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It wouldn't be all the same difference. I said, if we could get one down here, if it did have to get a new one, I still can save in the long run.
And you don't need an electric saw, power saw. All you need is a cross-cut saw with somebody on the other end.
Well, Leo can get
it. And it goes just like, it don't take out no time to cut that stuff.
No, and
it don't take
any
time to cut through a log.
He can get
I can get wood at the university, but just by hauling it off.
For the, you know, tree trimmers and so forth.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And you just bring a load in, you know.
I've got a good axe, and I've got a good cross-cut saw, and I've got a good man on the other end of it.
Well, I know how to use
either one. I bar any man to stand up with me on a cross-cut saw.
Well, you can cut a couple of hours on Saturday morning and have enough to supply the whole countryside.
Well, I used
and I don't understand why they are
salt Frank helped me salt
useless.
They're lazy. They want somebody to hand it to them on a silver plate.
They can't get around to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see, I told Faye once, if I ever make a move down there, you see, offer to get them something, then buddy. And the rest of them, they wouldn't touch it.
No, you done got yourself in for a lifetime's.
You got it. They'll stand back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way with me. If I go down there and fix your car one time, I'm stuck for the rest of my life.
You are stuck. They'll be waiting for you.
Well, if I can just find a stove, I can keep the field. I know how to use a saw, and I know how to use an axe. Done too much of it.
But there would be some way of doing it to where they would have to put the shekels out on the line before they got it. And you wouldn't have to appear behind behind the saw or anything. Just tell them you know a fellow over there who got some and he'll send it over there. You can get some. You have to lie. I mean, you can't, but you can't tell the truth, thing like that. Come up here, put some over here, and let them sit. And somebody want a little bit, I say, yeah, anybody to haul it. It don't belong to me, it belongs to another fellow. See, if it bought me, they wouldn't pay me.
No.
I took Bessie's radio uptown several times, and I never did get anything out of that. Bessie, she's, I'd say, well, at that time, she was painting a house, and she was doing several things. She was just tidying up. Oh, yes. And she was running up her, and she was doing that, and she was running up her account over there at Mrs. Rice's store. And I was over there one day, and he says, do you think Miss Bessie's health is all right? She's running up her account. She owed him nearly $100. That's too much, according to her health. And Yeah, she was tidying up, and she was just letting everybody hold the bills. How she do that?
You know,
I keep looking at this.
You know it's 9 o'clock, Helen?
But you see, the trouble is, once you do it,
that's it. Just one time.
Just one time. Don't whisper, Faye. Go on talk.
It's just that the health food.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Well, we had wondered what in the world happened to you, and I said, Faye, I'll call over. I said, you know, you was calling. If half the family has run off the bridge, there's enough left to send us word, so we just sitting back waiting to hear from you.
Snowbound, we figured you might get snowbound.
Let's see, when was that?
We didn't get back until, well, it was Monday night at 11.
Well, what was that?
And I was so tired.
Yeah.
What was that weather up there? Did you get 20 inches of snow? They said it at Elkhorn, West Virginia, there was 20 inches of snow.
Elkhorn, right. There was, yes, sir, because there's men trapped in the woods deer hunting, and when we left up there, there's one man they hadn't
still
found.
Hadn't found.
Arnold Wright from Spencer, West Virginia.
Oh, goodness.
They still hadn't found. They had found all the other men, and this man, this one came in, and it was his daddy, the boy.
The boy came in,
but
and
his
daddy was still back in the mountain somewhere. They didn't know where he was at. They were searching for him with helicopters, road graders.
See, Elkins is way up in the mountains.
Tractors.
Way up in
the anything they could get in the woods with.
Oh. See, that's
right,
your hunting area.
Oh.
Up around Elkins is usually where the big hunters go.
Uh-huh.
And it gets deep.
Mm-hmm.
Like we went to Elkins one time
on
Thanksgiving Day. It was on Thanksgiving Day.
Blacktop Mountain. There's 14 inches of snow.
I know we left home that morning and it wasn't cold at all, and we run into snow.
Is that
right? Down where you all are, you didn't get much?
No, they didn't have much.
Well, now, over Clay, if we come through Clay, there's about 5 inches.
Well, that isn't much.
That's a whole lot when you ain't used to know.
I know,
yeah.
But if you remember back in 1950, on Thanksgiving Day, we were snowbound.
That's right.
Leo was supposed to come home. We're home for dinner. He went into the service in December, wasn't it? And he was to come over home for Thanksgiving dinner. And I baked two big chickens. And Daddy had just bought a bushel of turnips. We hadn't had all the potatoes dug yet. And we got up Thanksgiving morning, and snow was yay deep. How many inches?
42 inches.
What?
He couldn't even get out on the horse.
42 inches.
We had to carry, and we had to dig our way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. We had to dig our way to the well. We couldn't even get the car out. We a week.
I started riding old Babe, these horses' mama. I never got a half a mile from home. And it was 13 miles from home over to where she lived.
No, you just couldn't move. It was that way for a week.
Yeah.
And about 3 or 4 days, the people up the creek, they finally got a path, and they came down and crossed the river, and Daddy went with them. They walked about a mile down the road to the store. We were snowbound. That was 1950.
42 inches. Fell overnight.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of that.
And I told Mother, I said, it's a good thing he didn't come. We ate the chicken. We had it for a week, till it ran out. And we ate turnips for a week. We didn't have all the potatoes dug.
We had our sheep back out in what we call a sheep field. And they were strung all over that hillside. 50 acres. Them sheep was everywhere. And it took us 3 days to get all of our sheep together.
You just can't do anything in snow.
3 days. What year was that?
1950.
Thanksgiving Day. You just can't do anything in weather that deep. I mean, we had to carry our drinking water in, you know, and you had to go on carrying it up over the snow.
I went to the Army December 11th, 1950.
Well, I remember Uncle Fred came to work, and I can see him yet. He's about my height. He come holding his lunch pail up.
He what?
Had to hold his lunch pail up. Couldn't even put it down. His arm wouldn't go down in the snow. He had to carry it up.
Why, Helen?
And he had drug 3 miles. He had drug through that snow to work.
Give out.
Walked.
Mm.
He walked to work that morning. I can see him yet coming up the railroad track.
That pulley.
Holding his lunch pail up.
I went to the Army, took my basic training in Fort Knox, Kentucky. I come back home, got home on April the 26th. No, March the 26th. March the 26th. I was home for, supposed to be home for 30 days.
That's the year they fired MacArthur.
And
called
when
all
they fired General Douglas MacArthur, the next day they called me back early.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Helen were supposed to be married on Friday night, 8 o'clock, and I had to leave on the 5 o'clock bus.
Yep.
I had to leave on the 5 o'clock bus.
They didn't get married that night.
Not that year. Oh, he was gone 11 months and
13 months and 11 days. No, 11 months and 13
11
days.
11 months and 13 days.
And we came back
backwards.
Home. I came back home. I went to Korea. I went back to Fort Knox, Kentucky. And they gave me all of my shots right there in Fort Knox. They put me on a train and sent me to Fort Lewis, Washington. They gave me 2 shots when I got to Fort Lewis. As I went through the building. And they went right on the right.
You
right
didn't
on
need
road.
To stop.
No.
He just walked through the building.
I wasn't in Fort Lewis, Washington 3 hours.
They can move.
Yeah. And I went right on the ship, and we pulled out of harbor at 11 o'clock that night.
At that time.
And we set sail, and I landed in Sasebo, Japan on my birthday, May the 15th.
That you did.
And they gave you shore leave, and you went out and celebrated.
No, they didn't give me no shore leave. They put me on a cattle car and sent me to Korea.
They kept me going.
That was shore leave, wasn't it?
That was shore leave. They put me on a cattle car and sent me to Osaka, Japan. Put me on a plane then, and flew me out, and dropped that plane landed on a transport. And we went and, down the bottom of that transport and stood in there like cows. And they took us 2 days to get to Korea. It took us, we got out off of the boat in, let's see, what was the name of that place there? Korea. Anyway, they took us off of the, we got off the boat there and ate some sea rations, give us a package of sea rations and a pack of cigarettes, and put us on a truck and shuttled us to Seoul, Korea. All of us, a whole lot. I mean, they were trucks lined up for 40 miles. Looked like. We all got out there and like froze to death. It was cold here in May.
It was way up there.
Yeah, and heck, we didn't have nothing on but our fatigues. That's all we had on. No clothes, because we'd all throw them overboard. Wasn't carrying any packs, huh?
Why couldn't
No, we didn't carry no packs. Heck, we throw them, I'll tell it now, we throw their clothes away and bought moonshine whiskey in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck, we still had moonshine whiskey when we got in Korea.
Oh, you took a 5-gallon can.
I took 5 gallons of moonshine whiskey with me from Houston, Texas. Me and Kenneth Scott and Glenn Davis and Earl Hurdle.
Well, I hope it was all right.
It was good stuff. Of course, it kept us out of KP from the time we left Fort Lewis, Washington, until we got to Korea. And then I didn't have to pull no KP.
You was past that over there.
Yeah.
Kept you warm, too.
You didn't need nothing but fatigues.
That's all we had in a duffel bag. Moonshine whiskey. Oh, we had a ball.
But no compensations at all in Korea.
None whatsoever.
And that moonshine, you couldn't replenish.
No, no. No, we couldn't even get beer to chase it with.
Yeah. It's just raw country.
Raw country and raw whiskey. But I'm going to tell you, though, old Lieutenant Brannon, when he found out that we all had moonshine whiskey, by golly.
Did he start trading that for clothes again?
No, no. We give it to, we went to the company commander's quarters. That's where we stayed. We eat like kings. Sure did. We eat like kings. Of course, you see, the company commanders, they get special food. The privates and the troops, they get what's left over.
They don't even get what's left over. They just get that other old stuff, don't they?
Most of the time. Me and Kenneth Scott, Glenn Davis, and Earl Hurdle.
You couldn't even get rich playing poker in Korea, could you?
Gosh, no. There was no money over there. I sent all my money home to Daddy.
Yeah.
I made Daddy an allotment. I sent all my money home.
You didn't have any PXs to chisel out of stuff.
No.
They just hadn't civilized that place, had they?
No,
well, that wasn't
a
war.
The United States wouldn't even send us smoking tobacco.
And you see, these fellas from Vietnam, they had everything over there.
Yeah. Helen sent me smoking tobacco. Didn't you? She sent me smoking tobacco.
Yeah.
I couldn't get no smoking tobacco. And the cigarettes you got were so dusty, so old.
Yeah.
And it'd been wet and everything. I mean, they wasn't fit to smoke.
Been in them old warehouses.
Yeah, for goodness knows how long. And Helen sent me some good smoking tobacco, and well, I could throw that stuff for $5 a pack, just as fast. I wouldn't sell it, no, I'll smoke that myself.
Well,
sometimes I'd get as high as 30 letters in one day. I'd go for a month and I'd get a letter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Get them all at one time. Of course, she wrote me a letter every day.
And it never occurred to you that one of these days you'd be buying little old Japanese cars to run around in.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, Grandma. I'm not gonna patronize them fellas over there, because I ain't gonna buy their cars.
Yes, but you buy just about everything else with Japan on it. They're just about the stores are loaded.
I wouldn't. I still wouldn't.
No. I'm not going to buy this car.
No, sir. They kept me knocking around the countryside for all that time. I wouldn't do it. This is the only thing I buy from them. And the only reason I buy that from them is the only dealers that got any sense, that's all they got.
Well?
Or else I wouldn't do that.
See, I think
is that full mark on
May the 27th? The
Is this just a piece of foil and the design is?
No, it's in the tank battalion. vehicle mechanic from May 27th to up in July. Then on September the 21st, they put me in as a tank mechanic and retriever driver. September the 21st, they went on a task force. We had 121 men. And we left the CP. When we got back 4 days later, we had 19 men.
Let them hold you down?
I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, you can take a piece of four.
I had 19 men and two tanks. We just almost got wiped out. Well, we didn't have enough men to keep Corey and
she came in first place.
Coming
Sarah
in
second place.
Around
them. She was proud of her. It was as bad as Sarah.
She asked for 7 weeks there. 5 weeks.
She's good though. Thank you.
How long was it? 5 or 7 weeks that you never heard from me?
I believe. It was a long time. Was that when you were out on the water?
No. Back when I was behind him.
I know one time he was in a flood.
Right in a flood. That was in...
Couldn't swim.
No, that was in December just before I come home.
12 hours, wasn't it? You were hanging on to a rope or hanging on to something?
Hanging on to a 30 caliber machine gun in the top of a tank turret. Out in the middle of the Wanji River.
Couldn't swim a lake, still can't. It's more place to be in a flood.
They were trying to get, if they couldn't get the runway, they'd get me on that.
I told Captain Hartness, I said, boy, Captain, that tank has a table won't wait, that water's too deep. Get in it, that's an order. What could I do?
Get wet. You did.
On the way out there, I mean, so far I was going just as smooth as it could, and all at once, plop. That's all she wrote. I went in up over the tank. Then the turret set up on top of that. Right out in the middle of that river. About 100 feet wide. And it was just pouring rain down. And the water was rising. 5 foot high and rising. And it just kept on raising up and raising up. I had to get out. And I got up on top of that tank to it and stood there. And when they come, when they brought the ropes over to get me out, and they got the ropes strung across the river, and walked up beside the engineers there. There was about all 8 or 10 inches of the end of that 30 caliber machine gun sticking out of the water, and I was holding on to it.
The water was rising. I meant it right to my current.
Plenty of current. I was just about to give out.
Hang on.
And they got that rope up to me, and I caught a hold of it. Got that little piece of rope where they had it tied in the middle of it. Got it and tied it around my waist, and held on to the rest of the rope. And they cut one end of it loose. Man, I hit the other side just like that. And the whole rescue squad was over to get me. And you know from that day on, I never done a little work. Never gonna look for it from that day on.
You've done your part.
Yeah, my goodness. That was in December.
Oh. Well, we're going to have to go.
December? Yeah.
25 after 9. I'm watching the clock.
And January, I didn't do nothing. And February 19th. February 18th, they come out and told them to cook. Turn in your bedding and close in the morning, you rotate tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's good. Old Forrest W. Wallace, he was my bookkeeper. He went up to the captain's tent. And we threw a party that night. That we'll forget.
Stag?
That we'll forget. Poor old Dugan Kennedy. He was sergeant. And I was upper sergeant. I was a maid sergeant if I'd stayed. And Sergeant Russell.
They need some more tax on them that are curling up on them.
And an old Corporal Connelly, the drunk, he was in my company. We took Bessie clean together.
Oh.
Went over there together. But we didn't come back together. A lot of the men I went to basic training with went overseas together within my company. We didn't come back together. Well, little old Johnny DeBacco, he was from Scranton, Pennsylvania. And Tony Covello. Me and Tony Covello, I mean, we could be walking down the street and you couldn't tell us apart.
Oh,
he was an Italian. Did you help?
Mm-hmm. I have his picture.
Johnny didn't come back. Tony did. And Victor D. Wolfenberger from Redwood City, California was over there with me. He is now in El Paso, Texas. And if nothing happens, I'm going to go see Victor D. Wolfenberger in El Paso, Texas. It's been over 20 years since I saw him. But I bet he's the same old Victor.
Oh, this Sunday, Sunline's having their Christmas pageant. They usually have it during the week.
Uh-huh.
But this year they're having it on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, the first, they're going to show it at 1, and then the second time at 3. And three university students have been working with the music department. I don't know who they are. They didn't give a name.
Karen's one of them, I think.
Three. No, she's going to give a party.
No, that's
they didn't give their names, but anyway, they've
been
working with them.
No, Dr. Plink from up at McClinney. She's working with it. She's one.
There's three of them that have been working with this group, and there's, I had it written down because I couldn't remember. There are 22 cottages, patients from 22 cottages, and there's, I forget how many patients now, that are supposed to take part, and they're supposed to have the nativity scene and all this, you know. Now, I thought last year, and I said, this makes you so ashamed of yourself, and you see, because they study, they learn all the sheet music and everything, and it's, a lot of it is Miss Fussell. Is it Linda Fussell or Betty Fussell? Is the music director. And the minister retired, and they don't have a regular pastor to chapel. Not yet. They haven't found one. But anyway, she always worked worked with him, and boy, those they can sing.
Really?
They had. It was, and I mean the church, the chapel was, but this year it's to be in the auditorium. Before they always had their Christmas program in the chapel, but it was so pretty, everything decorated and just so.
Mm-hmm. They took pride in it.
Oh yes. So I want to see this if I can. I'd like to go by three anyway. Maybe I can get a chance to go. Yeah. But because I know some that are going to be in it, but it seems like it's 220. I know there's 22 cottages.
How's the cows feet?
That sounds like an awful lot. But I forget how many.
Getting better.
Years to take care
of. Yeah, they're all right.
I'd like to see it.
And this little grass just springing up all around here,
they
look like they're right in the middle of the summer still.
Yeah,
they haven't let down at all.
Yeah, I guess.
Let me tell you.
Old Leah's oldest sister's boys want to come down during the holidays if the weather isn't too bad up there. And they're going to drive themselves.
You know, we can celebrate. I had my last meeting today with old Stinker.
Old Stinker?
Yes, sir.
Know it all.
Oh. You didn't ship him out, did you?
No, sir, but I had to silence him. Everything he said was stinky.
I don't know how he stood it.
Yes, sir. I never saw such a, what do they call it in Little Abner? What do they call it? People are disgusting, depressing. What is the word they use?
Well, I don't read Little Abner. So
oh,
I
you know, know. It's more disgusting. That's not the word. It's better word than that. If he ain't it, I never saw it.
Revolting.
And there was some more in there. Let me tell you. I have yet to get any of these fraternity boys that didn't have a crummy mind. It's just downright crummy. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. If there was, they wouldn't have been over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that's my experience with them.
Yeah. Well,
now, you can point to the presidents of the corporations. They may be crummy, too, or I don't know.
But you know, well, I'll tell you.
And I had several of them.
Sharon's roommate, I was down at Broward Hall getting a cup of coffee yesterday morning, and Sharon's roommate came up. I didn't know it was Madam's house cat, you know. She brought a tray up to the table, you know, and she pulled a chair out and she said, are you cooking? Yes, ma'am, can I help you? Melvin, he was sitting over there, and Jerry with Meyer, assistant superintendent, was sitting over there, you know. And I said, yes, ma'am, can I help you? I think her name's Polly or something like that. Or Joy or something. Anyway, I didn't know about that. She said, I'm Sharon's roommate. She said, I've heard a lot of talk about you and your horses, your wagon, and that new gold Chevrolet pickup.
Oh, she knew you. She knew you all right.
Yeah. And she went on with a bunch of hogwash. Want to see the horse work? I said, we'll beat the ranch this weekend and you can sure see it.
Well, we enjoyed the visit.
Glad you're back safely. You got to work hard.
And I'm just yawning my head off. I guess it's because...
As far as I can find from the weatherman, it's not going to turn cold.
Oh, I hope not.
You know it will eventually, but...
Yeah.
Not for 3 or 4 days.
And not showing up yet.
It'll be 7 days.
You know, this would really be something if this would turn cold, wouldn't it? Oh, this drizzle and a little light rain, it would really get it.
Did
you turn the light on, Luke?
There it is. Well, I think the sound is more than actually what it's doing. Yeah.
Channel 2 right around 800 or 900, and the end of the visit with Cooking Helen this Thursday afternoon, 2nd December 71. Channel 2 right around 800 or 900, and the end of the visit with Cookie and Helen this Thursday afternoon, 2nd December 71. Their first visit after they got back from West Virginia for Thanksgiving. Channel 2 right, and the end of the visit was around 800 or 900, and the end of the visit was Cookie and Helen this Thursday afternoon, 2nd December 71. I'm not sure of the date.